So this morning we're continuing in our series called The Sacrificial Heart, where we've been looking at Mark chapter 10. And in the past couple of weeks, we've heard several messages. One was by Scott, given a couple of weeks ago on giving hearts. And we were challenged with the question, are we giving ourselves away in order to know God more? Last week we heard George, and he shared with us about investing hearts. And we were challenged with another question. Are we investing in the kingdom of God first in all that we do? And so this morning, I want to take some time with you. But before I do that, I want to let you know that if you would like a Bible to follow along, there's Bibles in the back corner. And also, if you'd like to follow along with the outline, we have our FYI, and there's a half sheet in there if you'd like to follow along with that as well. So this morning, we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. And I've entitled this message, Flash Forward. I've entitled it, Flash Forward. And I want to begin with asking you this question. If you were to be given a flash forward or a snapshot of what your life would be like and look like 6 months from now, how would you respond? Think about that. If you were given a flash forward of your life, 6 months from now, how would you respond? Would you be someone that was overwhelmed and surprised? Would you be someone that would be anxious and scared? Or would you be someone who would be resolute and unwavering in moving towards that six-month mark? Something to think about, huh? Well, I got a snapshot of where I'll be in 6 months. So, Jeremy, if you could show that picture, that would be great. It's not on that one. It figures. We are just rocking today. Well, just to let you know, just to give you my snapshot, it was a picture of you two, and I had photoshopped my face in where Bono was, so it said, you two, same band, new look. So, you know, it was, well, at least you laughed, Barb. I appreciate that. But really, where would we be? What would we be responding to? What would be going on 6 months from now? That's not far away. Maybe some of you have already began Christmas shopping. Think about it. How would you respond to if you knew what was coming 6 months from now? We see in the scriptures today, I said to myself that we need to go back to the beginning of when our series started. And we had a verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that Steve started us off with and said, this is the crux of Mark chapter 10. And it says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's the whole crux of this time we're spending here in Mark chapter 10. And the main idea is that Jesus' redemptive role with humankind. That's what it's all about. So all these things you're hearing are going to lead up to, again, our time with Good Friday and when he rises again. Amen? Amen. And so we see here that in our passage today that Jesus, the disciples, and many others were making their trek on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. Not only that, we see here that this is the third time Jesus predicts his death. Now, the first time he predicted his death was back in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and it says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. That was the first time he predicted his death. The second time he predicted his death is found in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. It says, he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. Now, we see here in Mark chapter 10 that he does predict his death again, but here he is more explicit as to what is going to happen to him. But yet, he also tells his disciples that on the third day, he will rise. So that's where we are this morning. So let's just go to Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there. Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 32 through 34. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34.
It says this: they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." So again, Jesus is predicting his death the third time, being more explicit. And now what we want to look at is Jesus already has his flash forward. The moment that he came from glory to earth, he knew that his mission was to die. That was it. He knew what his role was when he came. And so he was, again, a man on a mission. And yet we see here that there are different things going on, just even within these three passages. And so what I want to do for the next few moments is share with you about a matter of the heart. I want to talk to you all about a matter of the heart. What I see here is I see three different types of hearts that are going on. And so if you're following along in your outlines, the first is the first two hearts. We see astonished and we see afraid hearts. We see astonished and we see afraid hearts. We see that the disciples here were astonished. They were caught up in the popularity of who Jesus was. They wanted to be a part of that notoriety by the way he taught and the way that he performed miracles. And they were not only just astonished, but another word for that is they were amazed at what Jesus was doing. Mark chapter 1, verse 22 says it this way about Jesus and his authority. It says, "The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law." Now, the word authority in the Greek is this. It's exousia. Okay? And the reason I share that is that in rabbinical interpretation of things, a rabbi would typically look to cite different authorities to get his point across. Make sense? So it's like, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go here, but this is my point. Now, the difference is this type of authority that Jesus spoke of was that he addressed issues in terms of his own understanding. So that's what blew them away. Is they're like, where are you getting this from? And so he was one who spoke with authority. Not only that, the disciples in their mind were saying, listen, there is a conqueror. This is the Messiah. Listen, this has got to be him. Because what he is going to do when we reach Jerusalem, we're going to bring Israel back into prominence. We'll show these people who we are. Because we have the man to do it. And so they were caught up with that. Not only that, maybe they could have been allowing it to get to their heads. They were looking at the reward of what they thought was going to happen, and yet they missed the cross. And for us, even today, it's not about the popularity. It's not about the reward, but it's about understanding the grace and mercy that comes with the salvation that Jesus brought. And our role is to trust that it is God who will bring glory to any and every situation in our lives. And for us, our role is to make him famous in all that we are. And also, we are called to a life of obedience and humility. And ultimately, allow God to bring himself out in our lives. I think about my own journey. See, I grew up in church all my life. My mom played piano. My dad was a deacon. That was it. We were there every time the doors were open. And as I began to get old, it was fun as a kid. And then as I began to get older, I was like, oh, okay, church, yay, whoo. You know, and got to start going to youth group. And Jim was the youth pastor. And he took a real genuine interest in my life. But still, it wasn't for me. Now, I'll say that I know in my heart of hearts that as a young child, I said yes to Jesus Christ. But really, when I said I'm truly dedicating my life to him, was at 22 years old. But then as life began, as I got married and a child and work, all those things began to become beautiful to me. And I enjoyed the benefits of Jesus, such as going to church, being there on Sunday,
And then Tina, and I'm not speaking for her, but I'll just, what I watched, was she began teaching Sunday school. I thought, that's cool, that's really good, and I'm there, and as long as I can do my thing 6 days out of the week, I'll be all right when I'm sitting there sleeping while the pastor is preaching. So I like the benefits of it. I like the Sunday school class or people being in my life, but as far as the cross, it was missing. I'd gone away. I liked the notoriety of who Jesus was, but yet it wasn't meaningful to me. It was just something that I did. And then there's another group. We see the disciples are amazed, they're astonished. And then we see another group where it says, and the rest of them were afraid. You know, and the question would be, what were they afraid of? But we see Jesus has predicted his death twice already. I mean, I don't know. If it were me, I would be thinking, okay, Jesus here is leading the way to Jerusalem. He's already said he's going to be killed, but yet he's still going. What's going to happen to me? If I'm around this guy who's a revolutionary, who is causing uproar within the Jewish community, within the Roman government, what is going to become of me? Don't we get that way? Really, think about it. Because for us, each and every one of us has fears. All of us, including myself. Now, I'm not talking about fears where I'm afraid of spiders, or I'm scared of the dark, or clowns, or things like that. I'm talking about legitimate fears when it comes to following Christ. We all have them. We begin to say, if I follow God in this direction, what are others going to think? Who will I lose? What things do I have to change about who I am to become more like who He is? But yet, if you remember 2 weeks ago, Scott shared, it's not about what we're going to be losing, but it is about what we will receive as we follow, scared and all. Jesus said to his disciples when they were in a boat back in Matthew chapter 8 and the waters were getting crazy, Jesus said to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" What is there to be afraid of? What are those things that stop us from moving forward with God? What are the barriers? What excuses do we make up? What do I make up? I think about, again, my own life. I think about, you know, caught up in the amazement of going to church. And we were, where we lived at the time, it was the largest church in the area. It was huge. It had a huge cross on the top, and you could see it from different parts of the city. But it wasn't until I was asked to chaperone a youth event that God really grabbed a hold of me, for lack of better terms, and said, "What are you doing with your life?" And it was right then and there that I said, "I have no idea. Well, stop being amazed. Look to me, and I will do great things with you, Jeff." And it was there. I'm sitting there at this music festival thing. That's what it was. I'm bawling. You know, the chaperone, all the kids are jumping around. I'm just, ah! But I really was. And it was because I finally saw the cross. I didn't see Christianity light anymore, all the benefits of Jesus without the cross. And that wasn't satisfying anymore. And through that, afraid and all, both Tina and I went through the process with the church of saying, this is where God's call is really calling us, just to live for Him more. I don't know what it looks like. And then before you know it, we're asked to move to a place called Canada. Afraid and all. Family saying, you can do this just as you can do it there. Family saying, you're taking away our only grandchild. You can stay. Afraid and all. We move forward with Him. Knowing that it cost us everything. I quit my job. Tina quit her job. We raised our support. There were times when we would receive a check once a month, and sometimes there would be $0. But yet we, afraid and all, we said, we're following you. Now, do you think I'm not afraid anymore? Absolutely. Because in my life, there are decisions that I've had to make in my own life, now as a 39-year-old, that have been hard, that have made me afraid as what will happen next. And yet in that, I know that I can look to the cross, because that is not Christianity light. That's the full-blown, high-octane, it is Jesus that I want to choose to live for. Students, I want to tell you this, is that this was a beautiful ceremony this morning. You made a commitment to say, listen, I want to remain pure throughout my life. But you know what the challenge is? It's not today. Tomorrow's the challenge. Because some of you may be wearing that ring, and some of them may say, well, what in the world are you wearing that for? Is that like a piece of costume jewelry? Like, are you accessorizing or whatever is going on? And the challenge for you, scared and all, is to share what God has done in your life and to be able to say, this is a proud product of me loving him with all that I am. So that is the challenge for you and the encouragement. Because it's a safe place here, correct? It was easy to do it here. But it's when we get out into the world that says, do what you want with yourself. There's no consequences. Just live it up. Do your thing. And yet I'm here to say to you, this is a path that is much less taken. Scared and all. But the beauty of this is what Jesus says in John chapter 14. Listen to what he says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's God's truth. We can rest on that. He can sustain us through any and everything. So the question that we have for ourselves as we look at these hearts here is that, are we okay with the rewards of Christianity without the cross? In other words, are we okay with Christianity light? And the other question would be, again, what scares us when it comes to following him? That's between you and the Lord. I don't know all your struggles. I don't know the things that scare you. But when we keep our eyes on him, scared and all, we can bring glory to his name. Amen? So we saw the astonished and the afraid heart. And the third heart we see here is the determined heart. The third heart we see here is the determined heart. And this is Jesus. Jesus was walking ahead of them, again, like a man on the mission. So it wasn't like he had people around him and he was talking. He was ahead of them. So he's going. He knows what has to be done. He knows the end result, and yet he's on. He's going. You know, he's speed walking. You know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But the idea here is that he knew what was coming when he reached Jerusalem. And the beautiful thing about Christ was he didn't come up with any excuses. He didn't stop the whole group and say, "Hop, time out. I'm done." I don't know if you've ever seen that scene in Forrest Gump where he's running. He's running. Anybody see? Okay, good. Thank you. Just make sure you're awake. So he's running and he's like, "I'm done running." They're like, "Why?" "Well, I'm just done." Like, you know, Jesus didn't do that. Like, Jesus was moving forward. He didn't go, "Ha, joking. Ha, ha, you all are suckers, so I'm not going there. I'm not going to die." No, he was moving forward. And he wouldn't let anything get in his way of what he was called to do. And we see here that, again, Jesus was secure in the decision that he made, because he came to give up his life as a ransom for many. And you notice that what was interesting, I don't know if you picked up on this, but he does not mention here in this passage that he's going to be crucified. Three times he says, "I'm going to be killed." Now, my understanding is that crucifixion was normal in that day and time. So for him to say, "Well, I'm going to go be crucified," oh, what'd you do? You know, did you steal from someone? Did you go commit adultery? What'd you do, man? You know, like, no, he said, "I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be betrayed. And they're going to do so many horrific things to me." And yet he still went. And we see that even in the Old Testament, we look back to Isaiah the prophet. He even had a flash forward of Christ's future suffering. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 50. It says, "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, but the sovereign Lord helps me, and I will not be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." A little bit of background on crucifixions is that beatings, again, were for criminals and fools. Okay? Not only that, but the pulling of the beard was a sign of disrespect.
Added with that, mocking and spitting showed hatred and added insult to injury. And yet we see here that Christ's determination brought him being betrayed, being ridiculed, being spat upon. His determination brought him being flogged. I don't know if you understand what flogging is, but when I was reading up on it, they would take rods or whips and they would embed rock and glass into it. So when it was used on someone's back, it wasn't just like, I mean, it was literally, it would grab in and grab and rip flesh out. That's what flogging was. But yet his determination brought him that. And his determination not only brought him that, but it brought him being crucified just like the criminals to his right and to his left. That's what his determination brought him. And the beautiful thing about his determination, it also brought us salvation. But also his determination brought him true greatness. Greatness in the eyes of the Father, not as the world defines greatness, but as his heavenly Father defined greatness. Greatness to me is found here in Romans 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies of God, when we said we don't want anything to do with him, when he's a joke, when he doesn't meet my needs, he came, knowing how we would be. Broken and all, sinful and all, and he still came. I think about my own journey now, and the life that I strive to live is a life of determination. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who strives for greatness. And again, let me define that, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. Because, you know, at the same time, there's nothing wrong with having jobs, there's nothing wrong with being successful, but at the end of the day, my determination says, I want to be great in your eyes, Lord. I want to look to the cross, I want to let fears, and I want to choose greatness. So as we look at Jesus and his determined heart, the question that we can ask each other is this. Where are we determined to follow Christ? In other words, it's not just, okay, I'm determined to follow him here in this area, and I'm really good at this, but here, that's mine. I'm talking in every area of our lives. Not compartmentalizing, not deciding and picking and choosing and telling Jesus, okay, you have multiple choice here today. This is what you can have, and this is what I'm going to strive for. But it's saying that, what is it? Where am I determined to follow him? And then the other question would be, where do we struggle? Where do we struggle when it comes to striving for true greatness? Again, in other words, allowing glory to go to the Father and those around us see Christ coming out of us. So we saw an astonished heart. We saw an afraid heart. And we see a determined heart. Jesus does go to the cross. Scriptures tell us that. And yet, what's interesting is that we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, I'm going to be beat, I'm going to be spit on, I'm going to have my beard pulled out, I'm going to be killed. And you know what? The next time we come back to Mark chapter 10, two of his disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, will you do anything for us if we ask it? Hello, McFly, did you even get what was just said here? They just didn't get it. You and I have times when we just don't get it. But yet he still went. He still died. But on the third day he did rise again. That's right. Amen. But for us this morning, as we look at these hearts, our flash forward is his return. That's where we are today. He will return. And when it comes for our flash forward, when we look ahead, what is our heart saying? In your outline this morning, there is a heart. And where you are today, maybe you just need to write where you are with that. Are you someone who is astonished? You know what's to come, and you're so bent on the heavenly thing, eternity, that you're no earthly good. Maybe this morning you need to confess to the Lord that you've gotten it backwards and that you want to choose to look to the cross and the reward will come from Him. And that you say today that Christianity Light is not going to be my thing. That may be what you have to write in your heart. The second is afraid. And this morning you may be in need of asking God to show you what it means, this whole flash forward. What does it mean that you died for me? What does it mean to become one of your children? I'm afraid and I don't know what to do with that. And yet, what you can know and what we believe here at Hope is accepting that you are a sinner, believing that God did send His Son to this earth to die, and is confessing it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The scriptures are very clear about that. You will be saved. And that may be you this morning. And it's not magic words. It's what's in your heart. It says, I want you, Jesus, to be Lord and Savior of my life. And finally, you may be someone who writes determined in your heart. And you may be someone who is really working to live in obedience, live with humility, and be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Again, we live in a free country. We have no idea what it means to suffer. Zero. But there may be things in your life that come in along the way that you will have to suffer for the Lord. Are you choosing that? Are you choosing at the end of the day that God says, true greatness is what I see in front of me? Not only true greatness, but well done for living your life in obedience and in humility. Not only that, you're determined to actively live out your faith day to day and waiting in the hope of the promised return. He will return. There is no doubt. I believe that in my heart of hearts, sir. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I shared a little bit of my journey with you today. Now, if God called me not to be a pastor, would I still strive for true greatness? Absolutely. But this is what God has me doing. He knew years ago the life I was living from birth until this moment. Because if I hadn't have lived a life and my family, we didn't live scared, we wouldn't be here today. We were scared to go up north. We were nervous about coming here. We left a youth ministry that was almost 70 kids strong. And we said, what's going on? This place, Willow Grove, what's that all about? And having the conversations with Steve, which I thought was Scott Obot at first. That was a big joke. Well, now you know, it was a big joke in our home. But the point is that we chose to live determined. We chose to live determined. Am I telling you all are going to move out and go do, God knows that. But in your heart, where are you? The flash forward is He will return. I want to close with this passage of Scripture, and it's found in Jude, verses 24 and 25. And I want you to be encouraged. One, Christ will return. And where's your heart at with that? Are you astonished? Are you afraid? Or are you determined? We've experienced a lot this morning. And my challenge to you today is to take time with the Lord and process this. God, where do you want me? Where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to become? And that's what I want, because that's what you want. Listen to what the scriptures say. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you know us. Father God, you know us inside and out. You know more specifically, Father, our hearts. We know you desire us to follow after you, but yet because of our own brokenness, we fail. This morning, Lord, we come to you with astonished, afraid, and determined hearts. Our desire is to live determined for you and strive for true greatness through your eyes. Whatever place in life we are at, my prayer is, Lord, that you would come back to a life, that we would come back to a life that has a heart that wants to live for you alone. May we not be satisfied with just being amazed, by just being afraid of the things that you asked us to do. but to live determined for your name and for your glory. Father, may our lives reflect who you are as we understand more each day that we can live lives that are set on living for you with obedience, forgetting what scares us and keeping our eyes on you. You, O Lord, are our hope and our Savior forever. In Jesus' name.